Rosario. Well, first of all, we came out of a Recife meeting at the end of 2019, and we were in Paris, 2018, and we were in Paris during the CATMI in 2019, in July, when Hossein convinced Jim to organize this meeting in 2021, right? It was 2021. Well, a lot of things came up. And I remember Jim saying that, I only do it if you help me out. And he talked to me and Rosario into that. In fact, he's getting a lot for what, he's making us work a lot this week, right? Well, so what I'm gonna present is about a line with a narrowing of the AIT using polarization spectroscopy involving hot Rydberg atoms in using Laguerre-Gauss modes. Well, I don't know if it is. I guess it is in the program as a poster. So I'm sorry, I'm not doing it twice. It's so either the talk or the poster, and I'm doing the. Oh, Jim, you just arrived. Oh, I see. So I'm not doing the poster. Okay, I'm just doing the talk. Well, okay, so let's move on. What I'm gonna do, a brief introduction why we are interested in Laguerre-Gauss modes and Rydberg atoms. Then I'm gonna present you some theoretical model, a very basic theoretical model. Then I'm gonna present the results and finally some of the conclusions that we have. So, well, AIT is a well-established technique, a lot of you guys do it, the experimentalists do in the lab. And it's interesting because you can study Rydberg interactions, for example. You can measure radio frequencies and microwave fields with high precision. And it's naturally a subnatural line width, You do it and it come up subnatural. But it would be interesting if you could to develop techniques to produce even narrow line widths, because then you can measure like electric fields with more precision. So our goal was to use the Laguerre-Gauss laser mode and polarization spectroscopy to obtain a narrow line width. Well, that's what I told the referee, That's in fact not the whole truth, The whole truth is a little different. It has been a while that I have been interested in to use Laguerre-Gauss modes to excite Rydberg atoms, because the Laguerre-Gauss has the orbital angular momentum. And I also thought that, it could do it could change the interaction with the atom. And it took me a while to get someone that would do the calculations, and that was Tito from Lisbon that did the calculations together with his student. And that came out after, I think, the Recife workshop in 2014. So it came up just next to the special issue we had after that workshop. So he did some calculations where it shows. The problem was that when we tried to do it, we were using spatial-like modulators, and they were not very efficient, so we would throw away most of the light that we have for the excitation. So recently, like 2 years ago, we got a Laguerre-Gauss mode plate with very efficiency to do the mode, but it came COVID and everything that went down the drain, and we had to wait a while. So, but basically, that was the motivation behind that. So the theoretical model is very simple, it's a very standard model. We have the three levels, the ground, the intermediate state, and the excited state. And basically that's the experimental setup. We have the 780 beam going this way. It goes through a beam splitter, through a liquid crystal half-wave plate and a beam splitter, so we can send two detectors, the plus and minus detector. and we combine the signal to get the polarization spectroscopy. And of course, we have the 480, and we have this Laguerre Gauss plate with a very high transmission of like 65%. Oh, it's important to point out that this liquid crystal here is very handy because allow us to really balance without moving parts the signal between the two detectors. Otherwise, if you try to do like by moving a wave plate, it's annoying. It can vary a lot, so it's not very reproducible. It's better to use this liquid crystal. So the modeling is standard model, nothing special about it. It's the density matrix model. We have the Hamiltonian. We have to take in account the spontaneous emissions from several states. We also have dephasing due to the finite line width. You know, so nothing special about the model. The only difference really in the model was that we have to consider the Laguerre Gauss laser. You know, so if you look. Well, we say the probe is just Gaussian. In fact, it doesn't matter too much if you say that it's Gaussian or if it's a plane wave. You know, the model doesn't depend much on that. But we do say that the model, the control beam is either a Gaussian or a LG. I like the LG, Luis Marcassa, right? Yeah. So you can say that's a LG mode, okay? So in fact, when you have an LG mode, it's this nice equation here with a bunch of the numbers to vary this. So basically, what you have is you can vary this P and L parameters, and if it's 0 and 0, you get the Gaussian, and if it is L equals 1 and P equals 0, you get this one nice one, you know. And in fact, that's the mode that, in fact, I think you can buy two plates from Thor Labs. One is L equals 1, and the other is L equals 2. You know, so we pick up this L equals 1. And of course, the model has nothing special about it. It's just you calculate this density matrix, taking account all these parameters, and of course, it has the dependence on the control Rabi frequency, you know. And then what we do, we take the Doppler average susceptibility, which we have to integrate over the velocities. And of course, here goes, in this term here, goes the dependence of the spatial dependence on the LG mode. Well, it turns out that if you go back and look at this reference, I think Charles Adams' group was the first one to do it, and the PS signal is proportional to the real part of the susceptibility. So we just have to worry about that. And this other reference here they have done something similar, but they not with Rydberg atoms. And they show that, in fact, most of what we observe is just due to the spatial dependence of the LG mode. You know, it doesn't matter right now for this. It doesn't matter the orbital angular momentum. So that's the expression that you get, you know. And so we go and do our measurements. So this is the red curve is the one single detector signal. So you can see that's a standard signal. And if you measure the half width, you know, at the full width at the half maximum, and we can show, well, we haven't really shown, but the model and the experiment agrees that if we compare this full width here, this full width is equal to the peak separations from the polarization spectroscopy. Okay. So that's what we have observed in all the measurements. Oh, by the way, we are varying. Everything is constant, unless and the only parameter that's being varied is the probe frequency. So that's we have varied the probe frequency. You know, so in color here, In green and blue are the curve for difference, is for the Gaussian and for the LG mode. And the black is just a simulation that my students love to do it. And as you can see, it is smaller, the LG. And just to determine these positions, we use a Python function, you know, to call instead of, it's not a fitting, you know. Although here we are comparing the model with the experiment, to measure this difference in frequency, we have used a Python function to determine it. So what we see that if this is the width, and we see that the Gaussian, this is the width of the Gaussian beam, as and the width of the LG mode as a function of the Rabi frequency. And it is about 80% smaller. Okay, it's about 80% smaller. And if we do the theory should, if we do the ratio between the frequency that this frequency difference that we measure for LG over the frequency difference that we measure for the Gaussian mode, we see that the theory predicts a smaller number, you know, and it's not surprising because the model doesn't take in account several stuff. It doesn't take in account the Doppler mismatch between the two wavelengths, collision, transient times, external field and magnetic sublevels. In fact, if you play with those parameters, you can even make this line width even smaller, you know? So if you play with those parameters, by that time, we didn't care too much and we just measure it. So it's a little higher, you know? It's about the line width of the LG mode is about 80% of the yeah. Oh, no, this is the Rabi frequency. It's the Rabi frequency. Well, it is. So it's, in fact, you did, well, it goes, can I go back to that question later? Okay, thank you. Because I have to go back to our slide later on. So we published, this is published just recently in this journal, it's a special issue of considering Rydberg-Adams. So this is the reference if you are interested. And but now what I really want to do is to go back to our previous motivation for doing this work and really try to see this excitation of higher angular momentum. So if you look in this paper that we did in 2000, I think it's 2016, you can see that the Laguerre-Gauss for like L equals one should allow us to excite P, and if we're doing the traditional S, the ground state to a D, to a P state, no, it's, yeah. We should be able to excite from the 5P to, usually you do either S or P. Or D. And if you use this Laguerre-Gauss, in principle, you can do excited F or P, you know. So that's something that we are going to look, we want to go back and look into that. And in fact, I want to go back to that and look at in such a way that I want to do something different. We are just building up a setup where we are going to have this cold atoms in a microwave cavity with a Q of about 2,000. And we want to use this and see if we can excite these states and maybe see some, since it's a microwave, you could be once the atoms decay, they should be pumping this microwave cavity and maybe we can pick up some signal. So this is just constructed as we speak. So to finish up, well, we have established this polarization spectroscopy with AIT. We have shown that using a Laguerre-Gauss, we can make narrow line widths for AIT. And the model reproduces our observation, you know? And as I mentioned, I'm interested in observing now this selection rules break, and also to do that in a kind of, in a cavity, you know? And our support comes from FAPESP, which is the São Paulo State Science Foundation, comes from the Army as well. And as you see here, the logo from the federal agency, and it's small because they give us little amount of money. And it, so that's the reason why it is small. And I am not afraid to say that, you know? Okay, thank you for your attention. I guess Tilman has, can I answer Tilman's question first? It is this, I mean, when you simplify this equation for P equals zero and L equals one, you end up in this term, and that's this definition.
Okay, but if you go to the higher Ls, then it should be dark in the center. Yes?
Oh, well. In fact, at the orange, it is dark.
Yes.
You know, and then in this for L equals one, it increases.
I'm just asking radio. Because if you now average over the whole profile, then the Rabi frequency that atoms see locally is lower because of that dark hole
exactly.
In the center. So can I just explain this nine narrowing by sort of a reduced power broadening?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because then it just shifts over.
Yeah. You can.
Good.
Well, I was going to ask more or less the same question, but I would say you can't define the Rabi frequency by some power average. It depends on the actual transition rate. That's how you define it. And then why... You know, intuitively, should the line be narrower because you're using Laguerre-Gauss? Do you have any insight?
To be honest, I don't.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical, I have to say.
To be honest, Mark, we have followed the other people that have established the same experiments, you know.
And also showed narrower lines?
Yeah. Oh. But they didn't observe, they have done a lambda experiment, you know.
If I may, I can follow up on the selection rules now. I understand that you can get different L states if you put your atom right on the axis of that Laguerre-Gaussian state, because then the electric field is going to steer it up. But in the experiment, you will have atoms all over the place, and locally they don't see that.
Yeah,
string
well,
zero and rotating, that the rotation in this electric field is basically...
Well, I can tell you that, Tilman, there is a theoretical paper that takes in account the fact that the atom can be, you know, in an average, and still there is an effect. I don't have
the... comes from the atoms that are on the line in the center, or...?
No, that they are... Well, in fact, this initial theory was done really at the focus of the Laguerre-Gauss.
I have no problem. There it will happen. But if you do the real experiment, you have many more atoms that are not on this point.
Exactly. Probably, as I'm saying, I remember this reference where they have done this calculation, considering an average, and you still should be able to see the signal.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Question. So in the lambda schemes for this Laguerre-Gauss EIT, I think the intuitive explanation is that it's a Ramsey effect. So you have some pulse, it evolves in the dark sometime, and then you get a second pulse as it traverses the other beam. But I'm curious about the overlap of your probe beam, which is Gaussian zero-zero mode.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just the coupling beam that's the Laguerre-Gauss. So it's a little bit different in this case. I don't see how you could get the Ramsey effect that they see in the lambda schemes.
I have to check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other question? Only if there is no question. If not, we thank Luis again.